ear, bass on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd Up.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with
Eric Billingsley.
We're the only two here this week because issues with the other two Tims. Those Tims always have issues. Most of the time they talk about them on the podcast. We definitely wanted to get a podcast in this week, and so we'll talk about a few things going on. Mainly, foremost, I have to talk about it. I might even have just a little bit of a rant about it. Transformers Age of Extinction. I got to talk about that during the podcast. Going to talk about a couple TV shows. Eric may be talking about some video games. We'll see. Whatever we can come up with. We're not extremely structured this time around because, you know, we only have to structure when there's like four arguing voices.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
We've lined up the top stars from Hollywood and from all over the world to entertain you on our giant screen with the new colorful motion pictures you've been hearing about and reading about.
If you want to enjoy some refreshments, this is your opportunity.
Take me out to the drive-in, far away from the crowds.
Now it's showtime, folks. And you can be sure it's the best show in town. Your continued patronage is very, very welcome.
Let's start talking about Transformers Age of Extinction. Now, you haven't seen this yet, have you, Eric?
No, I actually, and this is probably going to cause a lot of controversy with portions of our audience, but I've never seen any Transformers movie, nor do I really have any inclination to. And I just a little brief thing. I have never really found the idea of giant robots to be that interesting. I'm not sure why, but it just never really appealed to me. The idea that, I mean, I don't know, just the idea that a giant robot that walks on two legs, or even anything that's that tall, is going to have a high center of gravity and therefore be susceptible to you know, being tripped or knocked down, and then that's all you got to do is knock them down and then blow them up. It's one of those things that when I was a little kid, it appealed to me, you know, the idea of these big robots, especially ones that could transform into other, you know, devices or vehicles or whatever.
Right.
I mean, that's something that is very appealing to kids, but as an adult, it's just hard for me to get past the practical limitations of that. You know, it's like something like a tank that's low to the ground and rolls on, you know, on multiple wheels is much more of a practical of a weapon of destruction than something that is very tall and walks on two legs. You know what I mean? But anyway, that's just my take on it. So I've not been really that keen on them, and I'm not a fan of Michael Bay either. I do have Pacific Rim on Blu-ray, but I haven't gotten around to watching it yet. But the only reason I'm really interested in that is Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, definitely. And that one's actually got a little bit more of a different story to it, because it's more along the lines of a Japanese kaiju movie than it
right.
is any kind of a Transformers type movie. But, you know, here's the thing. Okay, I went and saw this only for one reason, because I knew it would be fun. I mean, come on, the guy, Marky Mark, his character's name is Cade Yeager. I mean, how superheroic of a name can you give someone? Cade Yeager. Yeah, so it's like right there, you know, you're in for, some super hype. Let's see, there's some comedy relief with some of the other actors. One of the guys gets killed early, but man, and he was like one of my favorites too. In fact, it was funny because when he died in the film, he was blown up. I heard a guy in the back corner of the theater, he goes, "That was my favorite guy." Well, yeah, a little bit of a spoiler, but it's early in the film when that happens. I don't know. The way I look at it, here's the general idea behind Transformers. First of all, Transformers was a cartoon made to sell toys by Hasbro. There's no other argument with that. That's what it was for, made to sell toys by Hasbro. And I always looked at that aspect of it as being, well, you know, that's what they're there for, just pure fun. And you know, one of the things about it, you can't take it seriously. You just can't. And it's one of those, they're selling the toys, and the kids are buying it. they're watching the cartoons. The cartoons are outlandish. I mean, like you were saying, Eric, you know, a robot that, you know, has a high center of gravity is going to be knocked down easily. But, you know, that's basically, what is that? A suspension of belief. You know,
right.
You got to put that into there. Going into this theater, now, first of all, I got to talk about the Eagle Theater, who that's where we went and saw it. And I will tell you one thing. It was in full surround sound. And inside that Eagle Theater, it was just so amazing to listen to rockets and grenades and gunfire and robots and everything move around that theater. I mean, there were times there was something would start coming from the back of the theater and flying forward. It got me. I don't know how it did, but I'd look back at the back of the theater and like, oh wait, that's in the movie, you know? And it was weird. But I'm guessing that's part of the movie and, of course, part of the sound system there at the Eagle Theater. I give them really serious props for that. That was awesome because it made me turn around in the theater. That doesn't happen. Second of all, then you got the whole aspect of, well, it's almost a three-hour movie, okay? It's a long movie. It didn't seem like it really. Isaac and I broke it down to where we talked. The first hour is you're pretty much introducing the numerous characters. Second hour is the characters and the Transformers getting together. And then the last hour, I mean, it's not completely 3 hours, but the last hour, definitely almost last hour and a half, really, is battle. Just nothing but battle between Transformers and humans and Transformers and Decepticons and Autobots and you got the Dinobots. And I mean, it's just amazing. It's a pure pleasure action. I don't know. I think every single actor had at one point had the line, "I'm coming for you." I mean, I think every single actor had that line. It was cheesy. Yes, the dialogue was extremely cheesy. Another thing about it is that this right here, this movie, out of all four of the Transformers movies, this one actually captured what the cartoons, that experience in watching the Transformers cartoons. The others, they tried to be a little serious, but they tried a little bit too hard to be serious. This one, it did not take itself seriously. I think Michael Bay finally realized, let me just throw a bunch of explosions at you. And let me tell you about the explosions. There were explosions. There's one awesome, I mean, it's like you see those commercials where everything looks awesome with explosions behind you. Well, there's this one where all four of the heroes, they're running down this thing, and there's like these explosions going off on either side. And it's just huge explosions. I'm telling you, I know some of these guys should have got burned from just those explosions alone. And yet they're kind of running in slow motion. And Michael Bay knows how to put up explosions. Oh, and lens flare. There's some lens flare in this movie too, by the way. A lot of lens flare. But again, you're going in there, you're going in to watch an action film. So don't go in there for the dialogue. You ain't getting it. Don't go in there for, you know, some kind of social commentary. That definitely is not in there. But go enjoy it. And here's another aspect that you're going to enjoy. The actors. You got Kelsey Grammer as the head of CIA. You've got Stanley Tucci as the head of this corporation that's basically trying to manufacture their own Transformers. And they've got a deal with the CIA, and so it's a weapons deal. And Stanley Tucci is actually his character. His caliber of an actor, I can't see in this role ever, and I still can't figure out how the heck they rooked him into this. But he, through the first half of the movie, he was like a real hard-ass, you know, weapons maker. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I mean, there was nothing even leading to this. He got a conscience turnaround and decided to do something good. It's like, well, where did that come from? It didn't. There's nowhere. It just was written in the script, and that's where it came from. So that's all there was to it. But Kelsey Grammer is a CIA agent or a CIA director. Interesting. I mean, like, oh, and John Goodman. He's the voice of one of the Transformers. He plays Hound. And I'll tell you what, he was one of the funniest Transformers throughout the whole movie. He totally captured the essence of that Transformer from the cartoons. It was like he was made for that role, it seemed like. He was so funny. He had so many one-liners throughout. Let's see, another aspect. Oh, John DiMaggio. He played the voice of Crosshairs. There we go, Crosshairs. And I swear, I thought it was Jason Statham throughout the whole thing because it's kind of an Australian accent on top of... It just sounded like him, basically. I was surprised to find out it was John DiMaggio. But he had some funny lines, and he was like...
Did he tell anyone to bite his shiny metal ass?
No. He should have, though. But
yes, he should have.
But in his humanoid Transformer form... He had like this green trench coat looking thing. It was like really cool. The voices, the actors. I mean, you got Mark Wahlberg, you got Kelsey Grammer, you've got Stanley Tucci, you got John Goodman. It was amazing the caliber of actors they had in this movie. It's like somebody rooked them into it, or they just knew they were just going to do nothing but have fun because it was fun. And I'll get more to that, more on the fun here in a little bit. But there's talking about Michael Bay explosions. There's one scene where Bumblebee comes crashing through a plate glass window. when he crashes through the plate glass window, there is an explosion. Isaac in the theater turned to me. He goes, man, Transformers are awesome. Even coming through breaking glass, they can create fire. And it's like, and he was being facetious, of course, but it's so true. I mean, just crashing through a plate glass window, big explosion of fire, and there's no need for it. There was nowhere that could have been possible. And so, again, that's what it was for. Blow up scenes. In fact, reminded me of one thing. Do you ever watch SCTV, Eric?
Oh, God, yes. I was a huge fan.
Remember the John Candy?
And the Farm Blow Up Report.
Yes. It blowed up real good. All throughout that movie, I kept doing that. Oh, that blowed up real good. They blew up that hay bale real good. I loved it. That's what I was thinking the whole time. And then when I got home, my wife asked me, she goes, well, how was the movie? I said, well, it was very blowy uppy. And it was. Now, again, it's not social commentary. There's no Oscar scene in it at all. There's maybe for the special effects. Just go in there and watch and have a good time, because you're gonna, especially the battle scene at the throughout the last half of the movie, almost half, it's just nothing but battles between these giant robots and dinosaurs and vehicles, and the transforming special effects are just phenomenal. I mean, there's a new kind, the Stanley Tucci character is creating a new kind of Transformer, and they have this like almost like Terminator, was it Terminator 2 with the liquid Terminator?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they had kind of a liquid thing when they transformed, so that was kind of cool to watch. The effects were awesome, and I found myself just having a blast. I was on the edge of my seat on the battles because they were just so much fun. It was worth it just for that. Now, I cannot see myself seeing this on DVD or anything else, because the huge screen is where everything took place. I want to go back and see it in 3D, actually. Not because it's a good movie, just because I want to see all these things go all over the place, because the scenes were awesome. So, just go and have a good time with it. And it was worth it, and I had a blast watching the movie because it was just so fun. Again, there's holes in the dialogue that are the size of Optimus Prime, and through the plot, and through, I mean, it's just big holes, but the action is just awesome. So, there you go. That's what I thought of the movie, Eric. I know I probably didn't convince you to go see it, but still, it was fun. And that's what, you know, really, that's what some movies, you just have to admit, that's all they're there for. You got to have some fun once in a while. All right, well, that's our movie review for the week. Not that we have much else to talk about except for television shows.
Get ready for the season premiere of the most talked about show on television, followed by the final episode of the show TV critics called groundbreaking. But not before the season finale of the premiere of the last episode of the season's first season final premiere. Then you'll want to see the exciting first ever season ending finale of the first season final premiere episode of the show that finaled before the premiere episode of the season opening premiere ending episode that ends with the season premiere of the final episode. It's all tonight on the season ending first premiere of the final new season. Don't miss it.
Anything you got in particular you want to talk about television-wise before I launch into my Spielberg?
Because I'm doing a show right now, I haven't had a chance to watch too much this week. I just watched 24, which, mm-hmm. This is the last season, and it's been a pretty good season. It's not, not as stellar by any stretch of the imagination, but it's been exciting and fun, and they've got some good actors in it, including Michelle Fairley, who was Catelyn Stark from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
And she's playing the main baddie, and so she's been very good. And, that's pretty much it. I'm wanting to catch up with Penny Dreadful, because I'm, like, 4 episodes behind on that, so I'm going to have to do a binge here pretty soon to catch up on that. But,
first episode of that one, and I so badly want to say it, but I don't have Showtime. I just happened to see that on the Showtime preview weekend, and I'm like, man, I'm almost wanting to get Showtime just for that.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only thing that I'm keeping Showtime for right now, is to watch that.
Looked like a good one. Well, let me launch into Falling Skies. Actually, just this will be briefer than my Transformers review, but I had to say that, it's a fun movie. There's no other value to it, so I had to say that. I hope that came across. But anyway, Falling Skies, there's a lot of value to this one. It's a great TV series, but it stars Noah Wiley, Dr. John Carter from ER. Of course, several other actors that are just phenomenal in this TV series. The first season was basically a cross between V, the TV series V, with Aliens Invade, and Walking Dead. And actually, the first season was more of Walking Dead type of survival, except the zombies were aliens, and they didn't eat you, they just stole your children. The first season, they had to rescue their children. They were enslaving the children. children. That's a key point to this new season. They strapped these things, these harnesses on the kids, and it controlled their minds, and they would have the kids do labor for them. They couldn't do the adults because something to do with the brain was more susceptible for the children. So anyway, the first season they spent rescuing the children and learning how to take these harnesses off without killing the children. Then later on, I think it was the end of the second season, where they introduced a new alien species. So there's one that's invading Earth, and then this other alien species that is also at war with this species that invaded Earth, and so they're kind of trying to help the humans, but, you know, they're trying to protect themselves at the same time, so they're not a huge help, but they are interesting. Noah Wiley, his character is a history professor, and he, throughout the whole series, he quotes history into how to regain your freedom from these aliens, and he's kind of becomes the leader. He becomes actually president of the United States at one point, because there's so few people left in the United States, but then he doesn't want that. And so, anyway, the alien that has decided to help them, they've nicknamed Cochise. Well, Cochise has disappeared. And this season starts out, the aliens have captured everyone. They've built these ghettos in which they keep the humans, the older humans, and then they've got, like, the teenager humans in this other type of a ghetto that actually seems, like, peaceful, and they make it seem like there's no war going on, that the war is over, and these teenagers are all part of that ghetto. Then there's one other ghetto that's actually, like, and they're really doing a great job comparing this to World War II. They're like the Hitler Youth camps, where they would brainwash the kids into reporting their parents that were against the Führer, and that's what they're kind of doing with the kids. You know, they're sending them to school, showing how aliens are good. And so that's where the seasons started out, is you got the three factions of humans. At one point, they've all got to get together, and there's this, I can't remember his character's name, but anyway, Noah Wiley's kids are all in each one of those camps. So, because he's got different age range of kids, and so they're all going to come together at some point. And he's got a daughter through a woman that they had a baby during the second season, and the baby's actually been somehow got spliced with some alien DNA, and she was aging at a rather quick factor, and so it's kind of interesting to see that develop as well. Spielberg produces this. There's a big name behind it. You got some great actors, you got some great action, and it started out as survival only. Now there's starting to be survival tactics and a little bit of history thrown in there. They're thrown in the world. First season was actually Revolutionary War. This season now seems more along World War II, so they're really throwing some history in there in some aspects. So interesting watch. Falling Skies, it's on TNT every Sunday night. Catch it if you can. If you like some good alien movies, this is a good TV series to watch.
You want to talk about games?
Don't know what video game to get your kid?
I already have that one.
Get him? Video game.
Huh?
Video game, the video game.
Oh.
It's a video game about a video game. And it's just like a real video game.
Look! I just blew up every city and wrecked every car.
You make the characters. You make the sound effects. And you make the game.
All right, I win. Did not.
Did too, because I made the game.
Video game, the video game. It's not just a video game. It's a video game about a video game, just like a real video game.
Okay, now what do we do? Make another video game.
All right.
Available now wherever overpriced video games are sold.
Yeah, let's talk about some nerdy things like video games. I understand that Steam is having their summertime sale going on, and they rooked you.
Yeah, well, this is the last day of the summer sale. These Steam sales are just evil. They're like crack for me, and I just can't stay away from them.
I remember when they started it, Isaac had been buying stuff. You said you're staying away from it.
Yeah.
You didn't.
No, I didn't. It didn't last very long. I tried to, but I mean, the thing is they do have really good prices on these things. And this is part of why I advocate, you know, getting a gaming PC, because ultimately you're going to wind up spending less money than you do on consoles, because you can get such cheap games. I mean, yeah, if you wait like 2 years, maybe you can find, you know, a used copy of a AAA title on a console for half price, but you got to wait, and you're usually going to have to buy a used copy.
Right.
Well, with PC games, all you got to do is wait 6 months and the prices start to drop. And as an example, I just picked up Watch Dogs for let's see here, it was 20% off, so I think I paid $47 for it or something like that.
Okay.
You know, opposed to the $59 that is full price. And I got a really good price on the new Wolfenstein game, which I've been hearing really good things about and I've been wanting to get, and I've been waiting for that right price to come along. I got that for $29. These are both very new releases. They've both been out less than 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, because they came out about the same time and I wanted them both, and I was like, I can't afford these games. I'm gonna have to just make myself wait till the prices drop. And well, the summer sale was the opportunity I guess I was waiting for, but I just didn't want to spend that much money on games, but I did anyway, because I was like, okay, they're going to go back to regular price and it's probably going to be another 6 months before they drop significantly, and you know, it's probably going to be the winter sale before I see this low of prices on these games again. And I saw some people online really bitching and moaning about the fact that Watch Dogs, you know, had such a low sale price because it is so new and it's a AAA game that people are still paying full price for, and then you know, people who did pay full price for the PC version are, you know, going off because they paid full price. And I was like, dude, you know, PC gaming for a while, you know that if you wait just, you know, 4 to 6 months, you will get a discount off of these games at some point. The only ones that that don't really drop that much, and eventually they do, but it takes so much longer, are the Call of Duty games, just because they're such huge sellers, and they know that they can charge full price for those for quite some time and people will still pay it. But those are the only exceptions I've seen. Pretty much everything else drops pretty sharply after about the 6 month mark. And I also picked up the Arkham Origins, and that was like, I think I paid less than $10 for that. I think I paid $7.99 for that
game.
Yeah, and that's not that old either, but I haven't even played through Arkham Asylum all the way or Arkham City, but I was like, well, eventually
you couldn't use the sale price.
Exactly. I was like, for that price, I'm not going to turn it down.
So. Well, Isaac got, I remember now, he got one of the Borderlands games, and
hopefully it was Borderlands 2, although I liked them both. But, yeah.
I think it might have been a package deal, but I don't know for sure. I know he's playing Borderlands 2 because the multiplayer version is just... I mean, if you've ever played Team Fortress 2, the multiplayer online version is just... It's nothing but just a whole bunch of... It's almost like hanging out in a room with a bunch of people playing Team Fortress 2, and the characters are just running around doing odd things. Sometimes they have missions, but... And it's kind of like the Borderlands 2 multiplayer seems to be like that. At least they're turning it into that anyway, so...
Well, since you've got it, yeah, we'll have to do some multiplayer co-op, because I don't know anyone else who has the PC version, and I've been... You know, the thing about playing the multiplayer co-op of Borderlands, it's fun, but you really need to be... in a group of people you know, because the loot distribution thing is kind of like on your honor. Someone can really just go whole hog and, like, you know, grab all the good stuff before anyone has a chance to.
Yep.
Although I think that they have improved that somewhat in Borderlands 2 over the first one, but it's still it's much more appealing to be playing with people you know. Yeah, and that is kind of a fault of the game, too, because it's a very fast-paced game. And so to have to stop and divvy up who needs this more than anyone else, and because it's just because there's so many stats on the guns. There are literally like a million guns in that game. And, you know, depending on – and you've got four classes of characters, and then each character has like a tree with three different branches that you can go in and specialize. So depending on what your specialty is and where you're and what what your class is, you know, the different guns are going to be, you know, have different appeals to you.
Right.
So, and of course you get people in there that just gimme, gimme, gimme.
It
doesn't matter what they, you know, whether it's going to do them better, more good than someone else in the party. So
I know that he's played it so much lately. That's his latest cosplay project, is one of the characters from Borderlands 2. So.
Oh, awesome. Cause there's so many great cosplay. I'm sure you've seen now. I'm surprised I didn't see any characters at Indie PopCon.
Yeah.
But there's the, oh God, what is her name? She's the really busty bartender. There's a lot. I see pictures of people doing her cosplay all the time. She's a really hot character too. So I can, you know, if a girl's got the body for it, she's like, you know, at the top of the list or whatever. And I've seen a lot of really good cosplays with her. But there's this little girl character called Tiny Tina.
Oh yeah, we saw her.
Oh, she's my favorite character.
She was at Indie PopCon,
video game ever.
Well, somebody did her.
Did they? I missed her.
Yeah, I think it was on the kids cosplay contest.
Oh, that's awesome, because, she's just awesome. She talks like this little ghetto youth that's oh, my God, it's just the funniest character ever made. And you got to play it and play the Tiny Tina missions.
One of Isaac's project as a Zero? Something.
Yeah, Zero. And actually, I did see a Zero at the Indie PopCon. Okay. Yeah, he's a very unique looking character. Yeah. He's a melee character, so I never played him because I'm more of a ranged character.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has this kind of like oval, elongated, mirrored mask that he wears. Yeah, he's very cool looking.
Well, that's Isaac's big project now. That's the one that we're starting to work on already. We're trying to figure out a good way to make either a hologram display or just something to flash out the number Zero in front of his helmet.
Well, I'll tell you what, Borderlands 2 is probably one of my favorite games ever. I mean, seriously, I've played through the main game. I first had it on my PlayStation 3. I played through it numerous times there. Now I've got it on my PC. I'm playing through it there, and there's so much DLC. It's insane the amount of DLC that comes out for that game. Huh. I mean, there's just so many hours worth of good gameplay in that game, and they just have supported that game like no other franchise I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, it's just amazing.
Well, it's his recent addiction, so, and it's fun to watch. I mean, I gauge a lot of video games because, you know, older, I don't have the coordination to do a lot of the button mashing.
Yeah, same here.
But I love watching, especially when Isaac plays it with because he's pretty good. He's got the coordination, and I love watching him play it. But it's like when I get down to play, I'm like, wait a minute, what did I just do? But yeah, that's how I've been gauging a lot of video games lately, is how, you know, just watching them being played. And that's one of them. That one and the multiplayer Team Fortress 2, those two just seem like so much fun.
I tell you what, I love sniping in Borderlands 2. I mean, it's got the best sniping mechanics of any game I think I've ever played. And the thing is like if you get up close into combat, it's like a lot of these guys are very, very tough. And I mean, some of these fights are very difficult, no matter how well armed you are. And sometimes you can't really snipe because of the landscape, and it's just you're inside in a lot of these, and it's close quarters, so sniping just isn't an option. But when you can snipe, you can take out like these really tough characters fairly quickly before they ever get close to you. And it's just knowing what it's like to have to fight these characters close up, it's just a really satisfying feeling to, you know, take them out at long range with a good sniping gun.
I'm more into the puzzle type ones, you know.
Portal.
Yeah, like that. And because that's my coordination level, pretty much. That's about as high as it goes. But
I love those games too, but they usually wind up getting me very frustrated because I always get a puzzle that I can't figure out, and it just makes me insane.
I know. I know exactly what you mean.
And eventually I have to go on like YouTube and watch someone else do it, and I was like, that's how I do it. Okay.
Yep. So, all right. Well, that's definitely going to be one that I'll be checking out soon, the Borderlands 2 game. But, I mean, it's been out for a long time now, but still, that's a good sign about a game. If it's still being played, I mean, feverishly, too. I mean, people love this game. If it's still being played this far after release, you know it's a good game. So,
yeah, it's got a huge devoted audience.
Yeah. We were going to talk about the movie All Cheerleaders Die, but I'd rather all four of us got together for that. So if you were tuning in to check out the review of this, how would you describe it, Eric? A horror movie with cheerleaders?
kind of a mess. That's how I would describe it.
It's interesting. It's like we meant well when we decided to review this, but it's definitely a B movie, maybe C. It's And what did you say? Was it the director that you said was actually, you're surprised it turned out
I didn't find out till a while after you announced that we'd be watching this, that the director is Lucky McKee, who I was a fan of, am a fan of, in spite of this one. He did a rather quirky and unique horror film called May, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago, I guess. It's been a little while. And that was his first major film, and it got a lot of positive buzz because it is so kind of unique, and it had Angela Bettis, Anna Faris, and Jeremy Sisto, and it had this kind of very goth girl sensibility to it, which is part of Cheerleaders Must Die as well. You can definitely tell, like, you know, Tarantino has his foot fetish. Well, Lucky McKee has a goth girl fetish.
So okay.
That's for sure. Yeah, May is definitely worth checking out. And in fact, I need to go back and rewatch it. And maybe I'm just remembering it better than it actually is. So I miss it. He also did an episode of Masters of Horror, which was a Showtime series that I liked a lot, although most of the episodes tended to be disappointing considering who, you know, the talent that they got to direct them. But Lucky McKee's segment of that was one of the better episodes, if I remember correctly. And then he did a movie just three years ago called The Woman, which I've got on Blu-ray. I haven't watched yet, but it's, yeah, basically this twisted family that abducts this girl and keeps her chained up in the garage. And just, it's, you know, I know a little bit about the movie just from watching the trailer and stuff, and it sounds pretty twisted and bizarre. And of course, I think it winds up being a revenge fantasy, which is also a component of Cheerleaders Must Die. Yeah, I mean, I think in general, I'm a fan of the guy's work, and he has a very unique perspective and style to his work. So, but unfortunately, I didn't think that Cheerleaders Must Die was. It seems to be like he's regressing. I don't know, but we can talk more about that next week.
Yeah, next. Yeah. Well, and if any of you listening to the podcast want to go back and listen, it's available on video on demand. You can get it, I believe, on Amazon Prime. I think even Netflix and Hulu have it. If you want to check it out, I can't guarantee 100% where they are, but if you want to look for it, try to find out. I think it's also available on Blu-ray. It's one of those movies that it's definitely a B movie. It's got so many. I'm trying not to review the movie, but it's got so many parts where it's like, oh, they're gonna, you know, go into this direction, or okay, this is gonna get better at this point, and it just doesn't seem to carry through every point that where they could branch off and actually make it into something different. But yeah, it was interesting. So, but we'll be talking about that next week with all of us here, and I can't wait to see to hear the Tim's reactions to this. Like, you know, when we watched The Hidden, they all were reacting, you know, on Facebook and, you know, talking about it as they were watching it. And then this one, I haven't heard a word from them. I'm wondering if they're okay after watching this. So, I don't know. Again, I'm in the movies for fun. And, again, perfect examples, the Transformers. You know, this one is one of those. It's got the potential. I will watch any horror movie out there because I think horror movies are just a lot of fun. Even the B movies, even when they make fun of themselves, it's just fun. I don't think there's such a thing as a bad movie. Well, yeah, no, there are, but I at least took the time to watch them and had fun with it. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll talk about it next week.
I'm a big fan of horror films too. I mean, that's what I grew up watching. Nothing honest. I mean, from the ages of like 11 till I was probably 17 or 18, I was on a steady diet of almost nothing but horror films. Any horror film I could get my hands on. In fact, I've seen most horror films made between the years of like 1970 and, you know, and 2000. I've seen probably at least 75% of them, if not more, until, you know, home video blew up and you started getting like all these direct-to-video horror films, which then I, you know, couldn't keep up with those. But as far as films that have been released at the theater, I've seen the majority of them, and I tend to cut that particular genre more slack than others because right. I do enjoy it, and I think that, you know, I think that filmmakers should be encouraged because it's like science fiction in the fact that it works so well as an analogy, and that you can put so much into a horror film and talk about topics that may not be suitable for a direct head-on discussion or film, right. But you can couch them in as an analogy in a horror or science fiction film and get away with it and say a lot about the topic that way. But even just for the sake of thrills, I just have always loved horror films, so I do tend to cut them a little slack if I can, and I can usually find something of value in a horror
right.
film.
Right, same here. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Now, I got to ask you, Eric, did you grow up in an area where they had a weekend late-night TV show host that would show old horror movies?
Oh, yes. I grew up in Southern Illinois, and we grew around here on Channel 8, which is the WSIU, the station out of Carbondale where we went to college, every Friday night was... I always called it Monster Chiller Horror Theater, but that's from SCTV.
Yeah.
That wasn't the name of it, but it was something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was hosted by Irv Kopy.
Oh, yeah.
Who was, you remember him?
Yeah, I remember that name. Well, see, recently a friend of mine and I, we got into I almost started a podcast just on old TV weekend horror show hosts. And, I mean, you'd be surprised how many out there. There's books about these guys. And there's it's a huge amount. And, yeah, I remember that name. But I grew up, first of all, in Oklahoma. It was on Channel 8 in Oklahoma. It was KTUL in Tulsa. And the guy went on to actually become a good actor. And actually, Gary Busey started out on this TV show. It was Mazeppa. I forget the name of it, but that was the host. But Gaylord Sartain was Mazeppa. And Gary Busey played a character. This is like in the early 70s. And Gary Busey's like 17, 18 years old. Played a character named Teddy Jack Eddy. And they would do little skits and stuff between the movies right before each commercial break. And it was just hilarious stuff. There's one episode called Teddy Jack Eddy Gets a Haircut, and Gary Busey goes in, and Gaylord Sartain, or Mazeppa, is the barber. And he just starts putting all these product into his hair, and he ends up, they're trying to make each other laugh through the whole thing. But yeah, that was one of the horror show hosts I grew up with. Mazeppa is just, he was hilarious, and he also, you know, they had some really good cheesy movies. Moved here to Indiana or Illinois, and they had Sammy Terry. He hosted shows out of Indianapolis, and he had a whole character based on in fact, when he died or when he stopped doing it, his son took over for a while, and I think his son is still doing it, just not on television anymore. And he's making appearances at horror cons and stuff like that. But Sammy Terry was a big, he had a really interesting approach. They had echo sound effects every time he'd talk. He had a little talking spider that would help him co-host. And then I went and joined the Navy and went out to California, and I got to see the best of all late night horror show hosts. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yeah, I grew up watching her.
Oh, my gosh. When I got out to California and saw her on every weekend, I made it a point to watch. I didn't care what the movie was, just to watch her. But, you know, but she became world famous. I've been influenced by several weekend horror TV show hosts, and that's one of the reasons why I like horror, as a matter of fact, because these guys introduced me to it on this late-night TV. Some of them, of course, were cheesy. I put up with them. And, you know, and that's the way I do all the time when I'll see a horror. In fact, my dad and I both share the same taste in horror films. And he goes out and he works on the pipeline, and he'll go out like 6 months at a time working on a job site. And all he has is a Blu-ray player or maybe even earlier, a DVD player. And he would buy all these DVDs and Blu-rays, and when he was done watching them, he'd ship them off to me. I have got cases of horror movies that I have yet to watch, and some of them are the direct-to-DVD type horror movies. So I've got a collection that I love it. I love horror. Like you said, I'll cut more slack to a horror movie than I will anything else.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite directors is P.T. Anderson, and I know his father was one of those personalities. I think it was Zachary, I think. I'll have to look that up online, but I found that out. I was like, oh, that's so cool. His father was Zachary.
Well, and there's so many, and that's sort of thing. It's a nice regional thing with those late night horror show hosts. Depending on where you grew up, you had a different host. Some of them kind of syndicated. It was a good local thing. You know, a lot of times they'd make references to something going on in your local community. And recently, someone gave me three DVDs of Sammy Terry, and each one contained three episodes. So it was like, what, about 8 hours, 9 hours maybe, of episodes of Sammy Terry Late Night, and they included all the commercials and from the late 70s, and it was just amazing to watch those commercials at the time. I'd skip through the movie, watch the Sammy Terry bits and the commercials, and then skip through the movie again. And
and of course the movie Fright Night, it was a send-up of those, of that, you know, I mean, well, there was the remake, which was pretty good, but still I don't think it was as good as the original.
Roddy McDowell.
Peter Vincent, Vampire Killer.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
That was pretty awesome.
So yeah, and that's a dead era now. They don't do that anymore.
Nah.
I mean, we came close with Joel Hodgson, you know, riffing on movies, but.
Yeah, I think that was I definitely think that Hodgson owes something to that era, and mm-hmm. We saw him recently at the Indie PopCon, and he was talking about, you know, how he came up with the ideas, and he didn't say anything about the old late night horror host. And actually, that probably would have made a nice question. I didn't even think to ask it, but I would have to believe that he was at least in part inspired by those old horror hosts, because this is really the next step, the natural progression. He's doing, but you mentioned the commercials from the 70s, and I recently watched have you ever seen the Star Wars Holiday Special?
Oh my gosh, yes.
The copies that are going around on the internet, and of course you can't get it legitimately because George Lucas tried to bury it.
I don't blame him.
Thank
either.
God, unsuccessfully. But you know, this was on at the very early onset of home video, and so you know I remember they used to have these VCRs that were like the size of a Buick.
Yep.
And they were just absolutely massive, and they would use these huge videotapes. Well, some people actually have these at home, and even though they were super expensive, but fortunately some people videotaped this I don't know what you want to call it, this
bad idea.
Anathema, I don't, whatever it is. But thank God that they did, because people need to know.
Right. Yeah.
This was on, but when you find it, you can get it off of Torrent and various places on the internet, but it comes complete with the commercials that aired when this thing aired. And the commercials are in many cases more entertaining than the special itself. And the cool thing is that a lot of the copies that you can get are actually riffed by the Riff Tracks guys.
Oh, wow.
Tying it back in with the topic.
Yeah.
It's not Joel Hodgson, because they kind of split. Hodgson did the cinematic Titanic and Mike Nelson and the other half of the guys, Kevin Murphy. Corbett, I forgot his first name. They went off and they did Riff Tracks,
where you download you buy the Riff Track and you sync that up yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
So they did one for the holiday special, and someone has actually synced it up as an alternate audio track. So you can like download an ISO image that's that you burn to a DVD, and boom, it's all there for you. If you haven't seen it, it's highly recommended. But beware, it's bizarre and it's terrible.
Oh yeah.
And if it wasn't for the Riff Track, I'm not sure that I could even watch it, make it all the way through the entire thing.
Well, every year at Christmas when I was on the air at the local radio station here, I would always feature a couple of the songs from that. And people would call me up like, what in the heck are you playing? Star Wars Christmas, dude.
Bea Arthur sings. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. I did the R2-D2, C-3PO R2-D2. I cannot remember which one it is. I'd have to wait till Christmas to play it again, I guess. There's something about, it's like 12 days of Christmas. I can't remember what they're doing, but it's just hilarious. So
and Art Carney, I felt so bad. Art Carney, he's a respected actor who's had this long career, and I was like, oh, you poor guy, did you really need the money this bad? I just it hurts to see him in that thing.
You know, hindsight is 20/20. I mean, look at it this way though. Star Wars was huge back then.
Oh sure,
you couldn't anything that had Star Wars branded on it was sure to be a hit. Well, until this thing came along. But still, it was like, Star Wars? Heck yeah, I want to be in that. But
I mean, of all the things they could have done with a Star Wars holiday special, I mean, this was like, it's like it was put together by someone who had absolutely no concept of what Star Wars was or what it was about. And it's like, okay, here are these characters, and this is a setting, just come up with something, and this person who has absolutely no concept of what Star Wars is about came up with this holiday special. Like, I mean, if you grew up in that era, then there were these specials, these variety shows, which don't really have anymore.
Right.
But it was very common back then. I don't know if you remember, like, Pink Lady and Jeff.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, man.
And Tony Orlando and Don. I mean, just that you had all these variety shows. Some of them were actually quite good. I mean, like the Carol Burnett show, although I don't think they had any musical performances.
No.
But it was just that was all sketch comedy. But you had a lot of these shows that were a combination of sketches and musical acts that, some of them were good, most of them were not. But that's the direction they took with this, and it was just my God.
And they'd always have special guests come on the show and either take part in the sketches or sing or whatever the case may be. And that's kind of what they tried to do with this.
Oh like, my God!
But B. Arthur, Art Carney, hey. It's one of the fun things of our youth that we try to have fun or pretend it was fun at the time. Well, it's just as bad as, really, Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, that TV show.
And I've been wanting to get a copy of that, too, because I remember loving that as a kid. But,
me too.
I'm sure now it would just look terrible.
Oh,
but the thing about the Star Wars holiday special, though, is, even at the time, people knew it was horrible. But over the time, it's only gotten worse and worse.
Yeah. Well, see, I got a copy of Kiss Meets the Phantom on DVD. I found it. I think it was at a con somewhere. And I found it, and I'm like, I've got to have that. And I watched it. I'm like, holy crap. It was that bad?
Like, sure it probably was. But at the time, I was just like, oh, this is so cool.
The 70s were an interesting era.
Yes, they were.
So, they need to bring back variety shows. And not these reality audition shows, but a real variety show.
Yeah, it could work. It could work.
Maybe they'll do an Avengers variety show. Avengers Christmas special.
God forbid.
We'll get to see Black Widow sing Deck the Halls.
Well, it's, I mean, they do kind of loose versions of that, like the Doctor Who, they have the holiday prom, they call it, which is basically, it's just, it's an orchestra doing Doctor Who music, and then, you know, Doctor Who actors showing up and doing little mini sketches in between and presentations. Mm-hmm. I guess that's sort of a version of it, but it's much classier, and it's something that I don't think is going to look terrible, you know, 20, 30 years down the line. But who knows? Maybe we'll see something like that.
That's our job, Derek. We're going to revive that. We're going to revive the 70s variety show.
But I have to say, I did love Pink Lady and Jeff. I never missed that show for like the one season it was on.
Was it even a full season? I remember it.
I'm not even sure. I remember that show had like sumo wrestlers and all kinds of bizarre things.
Well, wasn't Pink Lady like these Asian women? Yeah. Japanese. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was very interesting. So.
Oh, and the Captain and Tennille show? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Well, heck, even the Brady kids had a variety show at the time.
Yeah, they did.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're totally going off on a tangent on this, but that was definitely a fun tangent there. All right, well, tell you what, let's go ahead and call an end to this podcast, and I got a guy getting ready to mow my lawn, and he's going to pass by the studio, and I know his lawnmower is going to be loud, so I'm going to go ahead and get on out of here before he starts getting too loud.
There's a show premiering tonight on HBO that looks really good. It's from Carlton Cuse, one of the co-creators of Lost. It's called The Leftovers, about like 2% of the population of the world that just disappears, and then at some point in the show they come back, but it looks really, really good.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, it's still free preview weekend on HBO, so I might have to check out at least the series premieres.
Yeah, I think it's on at 9 tonight, 9 okay. Central time.
All right, then. I'm going to do that. So, all right. Well, in the meantime, that's it for this, we thought might be an abbreviated podcast, but we did all right. We filled in the gaps. And next time we'll have both the Tims here. We'll talk about All Cheerleaders Die, and good or bad, and I'm sure we may have another rant from one of the Tims because we've had time to build up. So, plus, Tim Mattson will have a new microphone system. We may have even a better sounding quality from him. I was looking forward to hearing that this week. He bought himself one of those Blue Mic Yetis like you use, Eric.
Yeah.
And I was looking forward to seeing what the quality was on his this time around. But, hey, again.
Love my Yeti.
Yeah. Wow, those Blue Mic's great. All right, in the meantime, we're leaving. We're done. I'm Gil T. Wilson. Don't forget, you can tweet me at Gil Wilson, or you can tweet us at the Nerd Up Podcast, at Nerd Up Podcast, and leave us a voicemail on the homepage.
I'm Eric Billingsley. You can tweet me at Eric Bill, ERICBILL.
And if you have a movie suggestion or anything else that you want us to all watch together and talk about it on the next podcast, feel free to tweet that to us as well. We would love to get your suggestions on a movie and review it all together. And again, if you leave us a voicemail on our webpage, nerduppodcast.blogspot.com, we'll be more than happy to play that on the next podcast and put you on our podcast as well. All right, so that's it for the Nerd Up Podcast this week. Tune in next time. We got more fun to be had. And stay nerdy. Nerd Up Podcast.
www.gilwilson.com.
If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out
www.gilwilson.com.
GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.